Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Later on in this hour, we'll be joined by Tom Herman, the head football coach at the University of Texas Austin, coming off a big win over Baylor. They go to TCU this weekend. We will also hear this morning from Michael Rappaport, whose book, this book has balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash. He's on the show midway through hour number two. But we begin with pizza and commercials and kneeling NFL players, and an angry Papa John. Now, truth be told, this is a sinful admission for me to make as a New Yorker, where you can get an actual good slice of pizza almost every 10 steps you take in this city. There are times where I actually want delivery, fast, you know, chain pizza.
Yeah.
Because I actually prefer, like, doughy pizza, not thin crust, crispy. So there are times where, like, I see a Papa John's commercial, I'm like, I want that. So, and if I do ever order pizza in that way, it's usually from Papa John's. That's my go-to. Not Domino's, not
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, no. Never been to a CeCe's or a Little Caesars. So, like, I guess...
What was the one before Little Caesars?
CeCe's?
Oh, CeCe's.
It's like a buffet-style thing, right? I don't even know if they have them here in New York. So I guess I'm somewhat of a Papa John's fan, but I'm not doing my part because I haven't done it in a long time. I've not bought a pizza in a long time, and apparently I'm not the only one because the company's having some issues.
I can't recall the last time I ever had Papa John's, and I've never purchased it myself personally. Mm. I've had it just when others have purchased it.
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, they're having some issues. Their sales are down, and then they had a conference call, I guess, with investors and whatnot yesterday. And John Schnatter, which I guess is Papa John's real name, decided that he didn't want to give any real reason for their struggle. So he grasped at one and made one up and tried to hijack the NFL's issues with kneeling players and players demonstrating through the national anthem. And he decided to blame that on the sales issues his company is having, because Papa John's is the official pizza of the NFL and 23 individual teams. And I guess through some kind of research, they've decided that Papa John's is the number one sponsor associated with the NFL by fans. Like, if you ask a fan who sponsored the NFL, the first thing they say is Papa John's, not their official beer, the official soda, the official paper towel, whatever it is.
And so, apparel, is it Under Armour now? I know it was Nike for a long time.
No, Nike makes their uniforms.
It's still Nike. Yeah. Okay, their sales aren't dipping.
So it's now the fault of Colin Kaepernick and Malcolm Jennings and Michael Bennett and others that people aren't buying Papa John's. I'm going to sit back. You can have this.
Well, no, it clearly comes off as if they're scapegoating the NFL and the protests that are taking place during the national anthem. Sales are down about 24%, and so it's interesting that I understand you want to protect your baby, and Schnatter has done a great job building this company. If you research his story, this all started in the closet of a tavern that his father owned, and it quickly grew to about 100 stores around the country in 6 years, and now I guess there are about 5,000 locations.
In 45 countries.
Right, yeah. So he did a wonderful job building this brand. If protest is all about sacrifice, and you know, I'm sure that original protest, and it may not be the original, but the one I remember clearly from growing up and studying history, that Boston Tea Party, I'm sure that put a dent in sales of tea back in the day, right? I'm sure there wasn't a lot going around and a lot of sales amassing during that. So there's going to be some sacrifice, and there's going to be an issue with your business sometimes when there are protests associated with a product or a brand that you've hitched your particular product to. So that being said, though, I don't think he can provide any empirical evidence that shows that people are not coming into his stores or his franchisee stores because of what's going on at NFL stadiums. Now, if he can, so be it. Let's see the proof. But to scapegoat the NFL and these protests and then take shots at Roger Goodell, which we do constantly around here, yeah. And say it's a lack of leadership and they should have nipped this in the bud over a year ago.
Yeah, we are disappointed the NFL did not resolve this
right.
Because they owe the pizza guy something?
Right. I'm sure there'll be plenty who take his spot, and he has pulled advertising fine. I'm sure there'll be others that are
I guess what they did actually was they removed the little, you know, you pay a lot of money to be able to put the shield, the NFL shield, and say official sponsor,
right.
They took that off
right.
to free themselves of the burden of the NFL shame spreading across the country.
Don't associate us with that professional league that's not able to control its players, and nor should they, especially not in this space here that in this issue we're dealing with. So I think, once again, it was just scapegoating the NFL, and if people are not flocking to your stores because of that, well, that's part of protesting. There's supposed to be some pain involved in that, and if he thinks that's what's causing this decrease in sales, well, good job by these guys. I know they weren't out focusing on the sponsors of the NFL. They weren't focusing their protests and their ire at anyone that's doing business with the NFL. They're focusing on what's going on out in the streets, what's going on with those who don't have a voice in this situation. And so they've shown a bright light on that. And we have in many locales things that are taking place that are to the betterment of those communities. And you're going to still have those, whether it's John Shatner at Papa John's or others, who are going to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye and try to wiggle out of addressing the issue that is before us. That's going to always happen. It's always occurred anytime we've gone down this road throughout our history. But these players aren't going away. The NFL is not going away. And we will continue to browbeat you with these situations until we have a more perfect union.
You might have a better chance of convincing me that the earth is flat than that people aren't buying pizza because of protesting NFL players. Maybe I'm a bad consumer. I couldn't have told you that Papa John's was the official pizza of the NFL. And I could have told you about Papa John and Peyton Manning's bromance on the field after the Super Bowl. I could have remembered the pictures of a drunk Papa John being dragged out of a Final Four game when he was there for Louisville as a great example of leadership. That I think your two sons had you over their shoulders getting you out of the building because you were hammered. Again, I have such a struggle with people being ridiculous. And this is just ridiculous. And I guess kudos to you. If you actually are holding the NFL against Papa John's and not buying their pizza, I'm impressed, I guess, by your commitment to your principles. Because I've said this a million times, between any controversy, players, you know, convicted of domestic violence who are now on teams that I like, steroid users, whatever it is, I can't imagine myself not watching a Mets game or the World Series last night or a Rangers game or a Giants game or the Super Bowl. And I can't imagine myself not buying pizza because it associates itself with something that's not something that makes me angry. Well, there's no line here. There's no connection. This is
there's
wise men once said.
There are more local advertisers that have pulled their sponsorships with certain players than there
right.
are these national.
Oh, it goes to the yogurt company that dropped Cam Newton.
Right. And, well, that was because of the situation with the young lady.
Right.
And then you've had, there was a car dealership there in Colorado that ceased their relationship with Von Miller. And I believe that car dealership, the founder of it, fought in World War II. And you know, I would ask him or those who goes in his relatives when they're running that dealership, if he's still not with us, you know, did he come back and did he fight for freedom for all here in America while he was fighting for freedom for those across the pond? Did that freedom matter more to him than freedom of Americans here in the U.S. of A.? And I'm sure they would have a tough time answering that question. So great for Von Miller. He doesn't have to deal with that. If they feel like he is disparaging the United States by protesting freedom for all, Von, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. And I think there's a dealership here in New Jersey that has also stopped their sponsorship or discontinued their relationship with the NFL and certain players who were doing sponsorship for them. So what? Fine, you know,
right.
I think it's great that we're trying to make our country better and make it live up to the ideals that it's supposedly espouses.
But even that, while I disagree with it, at least I can attempt to see the logic in, I disagree with what you say. I don't want to do business with you, Brian Jones, mm-hmm. anymore. I don't agree with it, but I can see how someone would go from there to there, right?
Yeah.
I don't see how you could go, people aren't buying my pizza because I work with the NFL. Yeah. I mean, when I'm standing in line for something to eat, I'm not thinking about all the business things. I mean, I disagree.
Think about your gut.
I mean, the guy who's in charge of Chick-fil-A, I mean, it's a Christian-based
right.
company, and he has said things and believes things that are in stark contrast to the things that I say and believe about social issues. I have Chick-fil-A, and I'm not standing there going, maybe I shouldn't eat here, and maybe that makes me a bad person,
yeah.
and maybe I should have better conviction and stand by my words and not have the best chicken sandwich
but
in the
hunger,
entire world.
But yeah, supersedes
I'm hungry.
That, right?
Yeah.
And it tastes good.
And it is good. Well, and I want some pizza right now
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
or Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Just bring it to me.
John Shatner and the CEO of Papa John's, not once did I hear them say there's any validity to what these guys are doing. It's interesting. I was on the plane a couple weeks ago and I heard a gentleman talking behind me to the gentleman sitting to next to him, and he was talking about how he disagreed with the NFL protests and yada yada yada. He said they shouldn't do it at the game; they should go down to police precincts and protest. But never did I hear him say if they did that, I would join in.
Of
with
course
them.
Not.
Never did I hear him say that.
And you're supposed
never.
To infer that,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
doesn't
you gonna
matter
be there
right.
with him? No, because he doesn't give a damn about
yeah.
those black lives that we're talking about.
It's not a geography issue, Brian.
No.
They're not doing it in the
no,
wrong place. They're just doing
not.
It. That's why we don't listen to it.
That's to deflect.
That to me is the crappy argument too. Because
yeah.
it's if I did it in a place that you agreed with, you're not going to listen to it.
No,
you're still not listening. You're
exactly.
still ignoring it. Remember when we heard this from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy?
Did you just listen to that question I just answered? Okay, I got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley, 2 years invested in Joe Callahan. The quarterback room is exactly where it needs to be, okay? We're fortunate to have a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. We're committed to the path that we're on. We need to play better as a football team. And Brett Hundley, he'll be starting this week, and Joe Callahan will be the backup.
And what was the date on this cut, Mikey B?
October 16th.
So October 16th. Today is November 2nd. So we're roughly
yeah.
you know 2.5
yeah.
weeks removed mm-hmm. from Mike McCarthy very angrily defending not just Brett Hundley but also Joe Callahan when asked about bringing in Colin Kaepernick or I think anybody else post Aaron Rodgers' broken collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, as Brian Hoyer passes Green Bay in the night from San Francisco to New England, we find out that the Packers had some real interest in signing Brian Hoyer, he of that distinguished NFL resume. They thought about signing him before he went to New England, a 3-year deal, which maybe explains why he got a 3-year deal, because everyone was like, why do you get a 3-year deal? Oh, because maybe the Packers wanted to give him something, and New England had to make it somewhat of a sweeter setup to bring him to New England. But the Packers, Mike McCarthy, so offended, and again, maybe this was above him. Maybe this is Ted Thompson saying, I'm sure you love Brett Hundley and Joe Callahan, but let's try and get a little bit better here. Somebody in Green Bay decided that 2.5 weeks later, being so offended by Colin Kaepernick questions that they should go after Brian Hoyer. But here
right.
we are going after Brian Hoyer. And I don't know exactly whose mind changed, or maybe no one's mind changed. Maybe there's a different voice this time around. But you know, here we are again with a crappy quarterback getting consideration to play football games, but not Colin Kaepernick.
Well, of course. And I've been stating that all these quarterbacks should send a portion of their salary. How about a propina, a tip, to Colin Kaepernick because the only reason you guys have jobs is because no one wants to touch him with a 10-foot
pole. Yeah, he's the best agent in NFL history getting all these dudes work.
Best ever, and he doesn't collect his percentage. You are correct. And Brian Hoyer, you jettisoned this guy after guaranteeing him with $6, $7 million when they signed him there at San Francisco. He's your starter until he wasn't. And you fire him in the middle of the season. Now he goes back to an organization that had a prior relationship with him. But yet, how do you have any belief in this guy if he gets canned everywhere he goes, but yet he continues to get jobs? Now, I don't begrudge you getting your money. I never do. But we know what's at play here, and we knew Mike McCarthy when he was getting huffy and puffy with the press about a 3 weeks ago that he wasn't sincere. We knew what this was all about, and so they can try to down our backs and tell us it's raining, but we know it's not.
Well, again, there is a small window here where this is not actually about Mike McCarthy being full of you-know-what, because he may actually believe what he said 2.5 weeks ago about Brett Hundley, and maybe he was almost overruled by his GM, who said, Mike, I'm sure you like those guys, but we've got things to do here, like win football games, and I'm not sure. And in particular, you might like Brett Hundley. You can't like Joe Callahan enough at this point to have him be plan B. So maybe somebody was like, we need plan B.
Yeah.
But either way, we've gone from the head coach almost wanting to fight somebody for asking,
right,
for, to dare to ask about giving Brett Hundley / Joe Callahan some competition to the Packers maybe running up the price on Brian Hoyer because they were interested in him.
And I think it was a one Colin Kaepernick that helped knock the Packers out of the playoff a few years back. And I remember talking to a friend who was a part of the organization at the time, how Kaepernick had possibly change the game. We're going to have to go back and retool our defenses. And so he knows what the guy's capable of doing, but he knows he can't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Just come out and say it. Just be honest with us. Don't give me this crap about I don't want to have to coach somebody up on our philosophy. We know what's at play.
Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan said something interesting yesterday as well, plus Brock Osweiler's back playing, plus Todd Bowles doesn't know who's on the Jets. All of that and Brad Heller when we come back on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, it's BJ, and I'm here to tell you about Relief Factor. Here's the deal. Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also, yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, a general aches and pain. Everyone has pain, even head pain. Come on, we got you covered. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. I can't guarantee it'll work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of people who ordered a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, they go on to order it again. That's under a dollar a day to see if it can work for you like it did and does for me. And it's 100% drug-free. That's what I love about it. Honestly, if lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in too much pain. Order the 3-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order right now. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or give them a call, 800-500-8384.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Brad Heller has your update. Good morning again, Brad.
Good morning, guys. George Springer, he was a non-factor in the ALCS against the Yankees, going 3-for-26. No homers, no RBIs. But he more than made up for it in the World Series.
3-2 to Springer. Shot into left center field. Back at the wall. It's gone. Springer stays hot. And it's 5-0 Houston here in the second.
Joe Buck with the call on Fox. A World Series record tying 5 home runs for Springer. One in each of the last 4 games. The Astros winning their first World Series title. 5-1 over the Dodgers. Game 7 in L.A.
This was a dogfight. This was as hard a fought series. I mean, you know, it's emotionally draining, physically draining. It took 7 games.
Springer was named MVP. Charlie Morton pitched the final 4 innings for the win. Yu Darvish lost for the second time in the series. Both times, Dave Roberts had to pull Darvish after just 5 outs.
I know he wanted the baseball. I know he was prepared. I just can't explain the results. I really can't.
And Clayton Kershaw, 4 scoreless innings in relief for the Dodgers, but it was too late. The parade in Houston is scheduled for tomorrow. NBA making 6 straight wins for the Celtics.
Into the corner, Jaylen Brown, another 3.
Jaylen never really set himself to get that shot off. It was almost sideways as he launched it from Kyrie Irving.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, the call, Celtics Radio Network. Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, each scored 22 points. 113-86, the Celtics blew out the Kings. Meanwhile, the Cavs have dropped 5 out of 6, 124-107 to the Pacers. LeBron did have 33 points and 11 assists. The Cavs are 3-5, and the Sixers and the Suns actually both have better records. Both are 4-4. Philly beat Atlanta 119-109. Suns outscored the Wizards 122-116. From the NFL, Browns receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated on a conditional basis. He hasn't played in the game since December 2014. Brock Osweiler will start at quarterback for the Broncos Sunday in Philadelphia over Trevor Siemian. The Patriots signing Brian Hoyer to back up Tom Brady. Guys?
Thank goodness for that, too. Good to see Brian Hoyer getting work again. Really. That 3 hours out of the NFL was really must have been tough on him.
Yeah, difficult.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So the reason why Brian Hoyer was free to sign with New England is because the 49ers cut him after they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo shows up in San Francisco. He's all giddy, smiles, give me that jersey, I want to play. And then Kyle Shanahan says yesterday, I'm not promising that he plays this year. Huh? No, he's not playing this weekend, but he's not going to be out there in a couple weeks?
Well,
Come on now.
Have you seen that offensive line? And when Randy Cross sat in Tuesday morning, he had just come a couple weeks ago, come from watching San Francisco play live.
Yeah.
And he said the young man, Garoppolo, should probably invest in some body armor. He just lost Joe Staley. We'll see for how long.
Yeah.
That orbital bone that was broken with the help of Fletcher Cox from the Eagles. Trent Brown, the other young offensive tackle?
Let's assume it is.
Yes, assume it is. Yeah, he was out with a concussion in their last ball game. So they've had some struggles up front. And I don't know if you want your future to play behind that beleaguered offensive line. He probably wouldn't last too long. So I can understand them treading lightly. Yeah, usually you'll say we'll give him a week to try to pick up some of the things in his playbook. And then hopefully after that, he's gotten acclimated, and then we can pinpoint what he's good at and what he's not as far as our system, and then we'll thrust him into action. But if they want to tread lightly, sitting there at 0-8, say, hey, you're our future, and we don't want you all banged up and mangled and before you become, you know.
So congrats, CJ Beathard. We're going to let you die this
right,
year.
Exactly.
And keep Jimmy fresh for 2018.
Sacrificial lamb.
Man, if I'm a Niner fan and I'm 0-8 and Joe Staley's getting his eye gouged out and I trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and 12 hours later they go, we might not play Jimmy this year.
I think the fans would understand that because this is about the future.
This season is lost.
Right. Okay, so you already resigned to the fact that we're not going to do anything. We're not even sniffing the playoff. Let's see how we can finish this thing out, and just know waiting in the wings is a guy that we believe can carry this franchise for the long haul.
Yeah, if he doesn't play this year, then they're doing something wrong. And I get how bad their offensive line might be, but put him on the field.
Think they're doing something wrong?
Yeah,
nah.
Put him on the field.
No.
Come on.
You want to play behind that line?
I mean, I don't because I'm not 6'4", 220, and I don't have good defenses, and I can't throw a football far. I have small hands. I've never thrown a good spiral, but I mean, I would think you'd want Jimmy Garoppolo on the field at some point this year. I mean, he's not running. I'm not blocking for him. So maybe those guys can figure things out and keep him safe.
That's not far off. I'm just saying. You watch their games, man. See how these guys are. I was right. It's Trent Brown.
Yeah, good job by you.
Thank you. I can understand this move. Maybe a couple weeks down the road they put him in there, but no. I like the young buck. CJ Beathard, go on. You've been lathered up and been running this offense for the last few weeks. You keep taking the hits.
So maybe no Garoppolo this year in San Francisco, but we're going to get at least one Brock Osweiler start for the Broncos. They've lost three straight. I believe it's 8 picks over the last 5 games for Trevor Siemian. So to the bench he goes. Brock comes in. And congrats, Vance Joseph. I hope this wonderful year one as head coach continues, that the offense, between injury and a lack of talent and ineffectiveness, has basically become a useless unit right now alongside that really good defense still.
Well, they've got to get back to running the rock, and everyone was forcing Trevor Siemian to throw the ball, and he looked so good against my Cowboys. What has happened since then? Everyone's stacking the box and stopping the run. That's what's happening. And he's been off key, if you will, with all those turnovers, and they had 5 turnovers the other night in that Kansas City ball game. And so now Osweiler gets another shot at being the man, and he should know this offense, having played in it previously before going to Houston. And let's see if he has evolved as a quarterback in this league. He's played a ton. He's seen a lot. So you would hope that the light is going off in his head and he comes back and plays much better. I'm going to say there's a 50-50 chance of that.
But 50-50?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if he comes out and he lights it up.
And then there's our good buddy Todd Bowles, who has
the
done really...
Man.
I mean, all kidding aside, has done a really, really good job this year. Now, his team can't hold a lead. They could, I wouldn't say easily, but they were in position to have 6 wins right now. They had 2 double-digit leads, 1 early on New England, 1 late on Miami that they could not hold on to.
Well, and they got robbed.
And they had a 1-point lead this past week against Atlanta, and the Falcons snuck past them in Jersey in the rain to get that win. So they're 3-5 for Thursday Night Football tonight when they host the Bills. But again, they could be 6-2, but even 3-5, because only you thought they could maybe possibly win 8 games because the coaching staff let them, and we gave you a lot of you-know-what for that.
Yep.
But look at you looking smart, and them looking smart too, because Todd Bowles has manufactured decent efforts out of this crappy Jet roster.
And Josh McCown, these ill-advised throws late in ball games, these picks last week versus the Dolphins and the week prior. I mean, and here's a guy you're supposed to believe in. He's a vet, and he knows you can't make those throws and you can't put your team in perilous position, especially when they're in a position where they still have a shot to win the ball game, and yet he's the one, not these rookies who are making the boneheaded mistakes at the end of ball games.
Now, all that being said, indirectly and inadvertently, Mr. Bowles got hung out to dry by his front office on Tuesday afternoon because his normal Tuesday media availability was happening as 3 o'clock turned into 4 o'clock and the NFL trade deadline was hitting, and Bowles was asked about any possible moves the Jets might be making.
Excuse me? Did we?
Who that?
I'm aware of that, but I'll go upstairs and check on it. Nothing right now.
I mean that voice.
What do you know about him? Nothing.
I'll go upstairs and ask about it.
Well, would you rather have these problems than the problems the Giants are experiencing? I mean, come on, really?
Oh, yeah, and this is just funny. I mean, this is, to me, actually, the question I had is why did they schedule that press conference for that time when things could have been happening? Either do it well before that or do it after it in case you do make a move, and then you have your head coach able to talk about Rashard Robinson, whom they got, I think, from the 49ers, that he didn't. I mean, that literally was a reporter looking at his phone, seeing on Twitter that it had happened, and he said, did you guys just get Rashard Robinson? And Bowles wouldn't have known. But, I mean, it's just that voice. My goodness.
How about the head of PR there, SID, or whatever they call him? How about you inform your coach as he's heading into the press conference that there's something in motion?
I mean, maybe nobody knew. It's possible. That's why the timing of it's weird to me. You could have avoided this by not having him talk at like 3:47 on trade deadline day in case something. Imagine if they got a real trade. Imagine if, I mean, I didn't know Rashard Robinson was a thing.
But,
no, imagine if they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Did you guys get Jimmy G? Huh? I'll go find out. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Taking your Astro and Dodger reactions this morning. Obviously, a monumental win for the Stros in their city and a heartbreaking loss from the Dodgers, but a chance to win Game 2 at home and didn't, had multiple chances to win Game 5 in Houston and didn't, got to a Game 7 and then laid an egg on the mound, in the field, and at the box last night to lose 5-1. And lose the series in Game 7. But it's college football next. Hook 'em. Tom Herman's back on the show when Gio and Jones comes back with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Check us out on Facebook at Gio and Jones.
Brad Heller with you on this Thursday morning. Back to your phone calls in our next hour, or maybe at the end of this hour at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This depends on when Tom Herman calls in, and apparently
call it right now,
the
man.
Phone's ringing, so Mikey B's in full-on talking to an important person panic mode. And we'll see how fast Mike can get Tom from Austin on the phone here to check in with us before the Longhorns check in with number 8 TCU this weekend. Here he is, as promised, the head coach of those Longhorns. It's Tom Herman.
And what are you supposed to say?
Boomer Sooner, coach.
Boy, I will stab you if you say that. What is wrong with you? Hook 'em, coach.
Hook 'em, BJ.
Coach, welcome back to the show. It's always good to have you on. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
I'm going to sit back. Don't let Brian, you know, kiss up like a good alum.
Well, I'm not going to kiss up, but okay. Coach, watching last week's ball game versus Baylor, it seemed like the offensive staff, Tim Beck, OC, and you guys, schematically, you went with a different approach. Can you expound on what was the mindset going into that ball game? Because I know you have a beleaguered offensive line, losing a stud like Connor Williams and other guys on that O-line. The running game hasn't been what ideally you'd like to see.
Well, I think, you know, one, we matched up well with Baylor and their front four. That's one of the few times this year that we have with our young, inexperienced offensive line. And so we were able to move the ball on the ground a little bit. But I think, you know, the one thing that we did, we played with some tempo, and that helped our guys, you know, allowed them not to have the defensive line kind of get their heels dug in or cleats dug in the ground and caught them off guard a little bit. And then the one thing Shane Buechele does really, really well is he can throw those what people are calling RPOs, you know. And so we tagged a lot of our runs with RPOs. And, you know, when it was there, Shane did a nice job delivering. I think we had 150 yards of passing on run plays, and you know, plays that were called runs that had RPOs tagged to them. So you know, it lent itself for a good week to get going a little bit. But you know, this week's a whole different animal with you know, a top 10 team that we're playing this week.
Are you cool with the terminology or the term RPOs, or is it something else that you assign to that strategy?
Well, we call them reliefs. You know, you get relief from an overloaded box, and so that's what we call them in our offense. That you know, when they load the box and make it difficult for you to run because there's extra people there, that you have relief from that, and the quarterback can pull the ball out and throw it on the perimeter.
Coach, on the other side of the ball, your defense continues to play really, really well. How important is it to have, I don't want to say, you know, that side of the ball settled, but to have that to rely on as you continue to build things and get healthy on the offensive side?
Well, it's monumental. I mean, we wouldn't even be where we are right now without them. And there's no secret that they're carrying our team. And they wear that as a badge of honor, so to speak. And they embrace it. They enjoy it. They were angry that they gave up 7 points against Baylor. You know, we played just 2 weeks ago. We played the number one offense in the country, averaging 50 points a game, and held them to 10 points in regulation. That should be good enough to win a football game, especially at home. We didn't play worth a you-know-what on offense, and we wound up losing in overtime. But that being said, those guys are playing – good enough to win, and I think it's really good because it speaks a lot to, you know, what we've been preaching for 11 months and the culture that we've instilled here, that if you play really hard and you play really, really physical and you play for the guy next to you and you play great defense, you're going to have an opportunity to be in any ball game. And we're really, really young on offense. You know, there are times where we have a true freshman quarterback handing off to a true freshman tailback with a true freshman tight end and a true freshman right tackle blocking for him. And, oh, by the way, we've got a redshirt freshman left tackle and a redshirt freshman slot receiver. So, you know, that nowhere in America is that a recipe for scoring, you know, 40, 50 points a game. And that's not an excuse. That's just where we're at, and we're getting better each and every week. But I think our defense definitely knows that they've got to carry us, and they take a lot of pride in that.
the matchup with TCU coming off the loss there at Iowa State for the 8th-ranked Horned Frogs. When you look at that film, what stands out mostly about this TCU offense, since we're talking about your defense, which is playing pretty well, has us alums who played on that side of the ball really excited to watch those guys fly around. But TCU, other than the mistakes in the red zone last week at Iowa State, what's going to be the key to stopping them?
Well, they've made a commitment to run the football, which is a little bit different than the last couple of years. They're running the football really well. They've got two good running backs in the backfield there, and then the quarterback, Kenny Hill, you know, he's a senior, and he's doing a lot better job of taking care of the football and managing the game. You know, of our 7 of our 9 Big 12 opponents have fourth-year junior quarterback starting or senior starter quarterbacks. You know, so we've gone from you know, Jacob Park to Jesse Ertz to Baker Mayfield to Mason Rudolph to now we've got Kenny Hill, who's a senior, and he's playing really, really well in terms of managing the game throughout the course of the season. But I think the thing that sticks out the most is their commitment to running the football and how well they do it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Coach, I don't think we're on in Fort Worth right now. The show's not airing there at the moment. Do you want to name your starting quarterback real quick? So no one will find out.
No, I'm good.
Now, I know you said earlier in the week that you guys would know. Do you at least know by now who's it going to be, or are you still playing your own waiting game?
I think we're going to talk about it today, this morning. I'm on my way into work right now, and we'll talk about it as a staff. But, no, that's the one thing that an advantage that we have that, you know, I'm not going to give up that advantage just because the public wants to know. You know, we've got two guys that have won football games here that have played really, really well. One guy was injured, but he's cleared now, and the other guy in his place had a really good game. And so, you know, that's something that I think is or can be an advantage for us. And you know, we're not going to divulge anything that would take away an advantage for us.
Coach, what's your methodology with dealing with disgruntled parents? You've had this situation with Armonte Foreman and his father taken to the Twitterverse to lambaste you and the staff. How do you deal with outside noise like that?
Well, we've made a point in our program to not listen to outside noise. And I think there's a difference between hearing it and listening to it. You know, that I would be foolish if, you know, I thought that we could prevent our team from hearing things that are being said on the outside. In this day and age of message boards and social media, our guys are bombarded with messages. But we teach our guys the importance of not listening to it and how not to listen to it. And at the end of the day, we believe that, you know, if we bunker down and have a bunker mentality in our program, that really the only people whose opinions matter are the guys in the room. And, you know, for me, the only people that matter whose opinion that matters of me is our players, coaches, and my bosses, to be quite honest with you. And right now, everybody loves everybody. I mean, I say that not with tongue in cheek. I mean, we are a very, very close unit, and you know, our players love each other. Our players love their coaches. Our coaches love our players, and you know, it's a shame, but you know, I made it very clear when I got here and when I was at Houston and everywhere else I've been that, you know, I will talk to parents regarding anything and everything about their son's life. My job is to build better husbands, better fathers, and better employees for this great country. And I'll talk to them about anything, social life, girlfriends, you know, majors, job opportunities, classwork, you name it, you know, health issues, you name it. I will talk to parents about anything and everything except playing time. You know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, that we teach our guys how to grow up and how to be men and how to, you know, have a conversation with a guy that's their boss, being myself and their position coach, as to what they need to improve to achieve the things that they want to achieve. And we do that better than anybody, any program in the country, and we've got great relationships with our players. And so it really, to be quite honest with you, Brian, it is literally a non-issue for us.
Coach, you did talk recently, though, about you know, fans, students not showing up early enough for games and starting games and coming on the field with a lot of empty seats, too many down in Austin. I know you do everything with a purpose. Were you looking for the right time to bring that up, or were those just kind of off-the-cuff comments that day?
No, it's funny the way the media works this week or this day and age. I got asked a question, literally. I got asked, Coach, were you disappointed in the student turnout? And I said, yeah, I was disappointed. And then the next day, my wife shows me a headline that says, Tom Herman calls out student body. You know? And so it was the farthest thing from that. I was disappointed, but I know there's a lot of factors that go into it, one of them being, you know, we got to win more games, and I get that. But we do need to figure out, and I had a meeting with our athletic director just yesterday on how we can, and we being an administration and an athletic department, how we can cater to and market to our students a little bit better and make, you know, being at games enjoyable and make being at games easier to get there and get in and be early and have incentive to do so. And you know, we need DKR to be a true home field advantage, much like most of the stadiums in the country that hold 100,000 people are. And you know, it starts with us, it starts with winning, but I think there's a lot of key players involved that need to take a look at what we can do better.
Coach, in about 30 seconds, tell me, how close do you feel you are to your core competencies taking hold there at UT?
Oh, I don't know that you could be any closer without breaking through. I mean, we can see the other side. We can smell it. We can taste it. We can feel it. And, you know, you don't – we had a stretch of five straight games against top 25 opponents or teams that – at one point, we're in the top 25, and we go to TCU this week to play our third out of 4 weeks against a top 10 opponent. And so we've been tested, and we have done everything except win the game. You know, we took Oklahoma State into overtime. We won possession game against Oklahoma, and then obviously the game against USC going into double overtime. So at some point, we've got to break through, and we've got to win these close games, the ones that we're not supposed to win. The one that
Coach, I got to cut you off. I'm sorry, sir. Up against the break, Brian always asks too many late questions. Hour 3, Gio and Joe.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.